gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Representative Linda Sanchez, Democrat of the great state of California, on the Celebrity Hotline this hour. Rude Pundit in hour number three. He is rude and hilarious.
Pundit.
In hour number three today. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoie, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by Pontiac. The Pontiac summer closeout is here. Hurry to get the Pontiac you want before they're gone, like the 09 G6, the powerful G8, or the five-door Pontiac Vibe. Visit PontiacDealer.com. Take delivery by 7/31/09. See dealer for details.
They had a whole summit over the G8.
Yes. That's a different thing entirely.
Different G8. Okay.
Altogether. All right. The Sonia Sotomayor hearings, again, due to start in just a few minutes. We will join those live. Yesterday, she had to explain it again. The wise Latina comment.
I stand by the words. It fell flat. And I understand that some people have understood them in a way that I never intended.
And later on in the show, we will tell you yesterday's horribly racist Republican faux pas.
Oh, my God.
There's one a day, and we can only look forward to today's. Meanwhile, we might be getting us some health care, the president yesterday.
It's time for us to buck up.
What? Oh.
Congress, this administration, the entire federal government, to be clear, that we've got to get this done. Our nurses are on board. The American people are on board. It's now up to us.
That's right. All right. So health care, the CIA scandal, clean energy, climate change, all in the news. If only there was somebody. Who is it, Jim?
Well, it's former CIA Director James Woolsey.
What? He's also a visiting fellow at Stanford and a venture partner with Vantage Point. Jim Woolsey, I'm afraid that you can lose some of your titles just for coming on this show. Are you aware of that? Never have we had anybody with that many titles come on this show. We thank you very much.
Cut them back radically.
Well, you know, I have to get your take before we get on to clean energy and climate legislation on this whole CIA story in the news. As before, you were a CIA director, of course, under Clinton. Hello.
Right. Right.
Yes, I knew you were aware of that. But what is your take on this whole scandal?
Well, I think Dennis Blair, the director of National Intelligence, said it right yesterday. It's in the press this morning. He said once they started doing something concrete, they had an obligation to brief the Congress, but essentially not when they're just talking. And it seems to me that Panetta handled this right at the point at which it got to where they were supposed to notify. He notified.
Right. Well, I mean, but you know, that exactly seems the point to me. It's not what they were doing. It's the fact that it is illegal not to tell Congress, correct?
It's not illegal not to tell Congress until you start to do something.
Mm-hmm.
Once they got into the business of concrete planning and training and so forth, or wanted to, or decided to, they told Panetta that it was time to brief the Congress, and he did.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really see that it's a problem.
Jim, here's the thing. We actually haven't even gotten into the substance of what the plan was. It was, you know, assassinating Al-Qaeda leaders, which actually doesn't sound like a bad idea. I'm just sort of curious, why was that impractical? We've gone with Predator drones instead, correct?
Well, maybe because the Predators are working better than people in those mountains would.
Mm-hmm.
We're at war with Al-Qaeda. There's nothing wrong with killing them. And the president signed an authority to do that shortly after 9/11, within a few days. But the Predator drones can watch for 15 or 20 hours and see the optimal time to fire a missile into a cave, whereas if you're going to put people on the ground, it's a much dicier matter up in those mountains. So maybe it's because the drones are effective.
Mm-hmm. Now, you are now talking about clean energy and climate legislation, but, you know,
right.
I think that it can't be stated enough how this does link up with national security. Can you talk about that?
Absolutely. I sometimes, in speeches, channel the ghost of John Muir and the ghost of George Patton and have them agree on an energy policy. And it's remarkable the degree to which the Muir concerns about carbon and cleanliness and the environment and the Patton concerns about national security can mesh in moving toward renewables, moving away from a dependence on oil. All of this fits really in a lot of ways with both interests.
Well, you know, I think that the obviously the key here is to have the U.S. not have to have foreign countries fulfill all of our energy needs. So you're working on a lot of things, right? Wind, solar, geothermal.
Yes, but there are two separate things here. Transportation is 97% dominated by oil, and oil is dominated by OPEC. So insofar as we are on oil and don't get off oil and don't move toward electricity for cars and toward alternative fuels, we are putting ourselves in the hands of, as several presidents have put it, governments that don't like us very well. And that's a huge problem. Electricity is a different kind of problem because we need to make it cleanly with renewables, and I think natural gas more than coal. This bill before that the House of Representatives passed tilted too much toward coal, as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm.
But we do need to make electricity cleanly, and we need to make the grid more secure. The grid is subject to hacking because much of it is controlled over the Internet. It's physically vulnerable in part. We need to make some substantial improvements in that, as well as clean it up.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you also talk about safety of the troops specifically, that the number of American military in the Middle East who are there to ensure access just to fossil fuels, we could obviously reduce that.
Well, we went to war twice in the Clinton administration against Milosevic in Serbia because he was oppressing Muslims in Bosnia once and in Kosovo once, and none of that had anything to do with oil. The United States uses force in different circumstances, sometimes purely for humanitarian reasons. And although the Middle East is more important because of oil, I don't by any means think we went there to grab the oil, and I think we would need a fairly substantial military even if we were off oil.
Well, yeah, absolutely. What is your take on Afghanistan now and Iraq and where we stand?
I think the president's doing a good job with respect to Afghanistan and Pakistan. I hope we have not pulled out of Iraq too soon and that they can pull things together because our military under General Petraeus did a superb job of pulling that together after the disaster of 2003 to 2006. They really did a very good job, and Iraq now has a chance, and I hope we've given them enough of a chance to succeed.
You know, Jim, the Wikipedia kind of tells you everything you need to know about a person. So as we were researching you before you came on, I wondered if this was true, that you never met with President Clinton?
Wikipedia sometimes gets it wrong, too. I met with President Clinton frequently, but in National Security Council meetings. What it's often referring to is that I had only one private or semi-private meeting a year with him, and when that little airplane crashed into the South Lawn of the White House in the fall of 94, right. I'd been in the job a couple of years. The White House staff joke was, that must be Woolsey still trying to get an appointment with Clinton.
Well, Jim Woolsey, thank you so much for taking time for us, and thanks for doing this important work on climate legislation and clean energy. We appreciate it, and thanks for coming on. And we will let you keep all of your titles.
Yes.
Any or all, doesn't matter.
Okay, thanks.
All right, there he goes. I don't believe we've ever had a visiting fellow from Stanford.
We've had many visiting fellows here in the studio.
I don't think comedians count.
Hal Sparks doesn't count?
I don't think we've had any visiting gals from Stanford either.
No.
No.
Condi Rice hasn't shown up.
Oh, yes, we have. We've had Rachel Maddow on.
Oh,
she's from Stanford.
Right. Mm-hmm. But was she visiting from Stanford?
Not technically. I think she came from MSNBC at the time.
Okay.
All right. Would you like to get to yesterday's horrible Republican racist faux pas?
Yes.
After
there's another one?
After Jeff Sessions, as you know, the day before, said, "What? There's this other Puerto Rican feller that you didn't agree with."
How come you didn't agree with the other Puerto Rican?
What's up with that?
You all think alike, right?
Yeah, there was, Lindsey Graham, pardon me, I forgot Lindsey Graham's moment. Why don't you just take a little time out, Missy, and think about your spicy Latina temperament for a moment?
Oh, Lord.
There was that. And then, is it me or who was it that imitated Ricky Ricardo?
Tom Coburn.
Coburn, that's right.
Okay.
If I go home, get a gun, come back and shoot you, that may not be legal under New York law because you would have alternative ways.
You'll have lots of explaining to do.
I'd be in a lot of trouble then.
See, she took it very good-naturedly. However, people in the courtroom were, no. Yes, what Coburn said and how he said it, of course, a riff on a Hispanic television character, Ricky Ricardo.
Cuban, specifically.
Yes, whose accent is now widely considered a broad parody. Yvette Melendez, who was attending Sotomayor's confirmation hearing to be the Supreme Court's first Hispanic justice, she said she winced inwardly when Coburn made his comment. I personally did not think it was appropriate, she said. The National Council of La Raza responded to an email inquiring about Coburn's remarks, saying it was unclear whether it was a badly told joke or, quote, he's just clueless.
Possibly both.
Oh, possibly, exactly. La Raza spokesperson said, while quoting Ricky Ricardo isn't in itself a slur, in this context, it seems wildly inappropriate, to say the least, said the groups.
Well, if that had been the only instance of it, it would have been fine. But after days and days of, hey, you all talk, think alike, don't you? You Puerto Ricans? Hey, how about that Estrada fella, huh? Oh, he didn't get through, and he's another one like you.
It was the him doing the, you know, the accent. It was the whole, yeah. Okay. You know what I'm saying is you're right, Jim. In other contexts, sure, that's a thing that people use a lot, that he got some splaining to do, but it was just the fact that he did the accent and he did it to her that, okay.
Yeah.
All right. And now,
she's not even Cuban.
One would guess that probably a lot of Republicans don't really know the difference.
Right. It'd be sort of like talking jive to Eric Holder. You know, it's kind of.
They're really screwing up their attempts to get the Hispanic vote, aren't they? Good Lord.
Wait, what was wrong with that Miguel Estrada feller? See how we like the
Hispanics?
Another
Mexican. He's another Mexican, just like you.
Exactly. Technically, sir, I'm Puerto Rican.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, if someone says Babaloo today in the hearing, that's some Republican.
Lindsey Graham's going to bring bongos. Oh, my God.
Lucy. Lucy.
Oh, please. Please let someone say Babaloo today.
Oh, Lord.
Okay.
Maybe they'll bring bottles of Vitamita Vegemin. I think it might be much more entertaining.
So, anyway, so you, What?
She'll say, but why? I want to be on the Supreme Court. No, Lucy, you cannot be in the show. You got some splaining to do. Get it, everybody. Babaloo. Okay.
You should use that theme song.
Oh, my God. 20 minutes after the hour. Oh, thank God for Republicans, or there would be no comedy left. 20 minutes after the hour, right back with the latest on the Sotomayor hearings as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
This is wild. I never heard anything like this in my life.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stefana Mina.
I love this song.
What am I, Tom Coburn?
What are you looking at me like?
Now you're doing it again.
Is that the Los Lobos version?
It's sí.
Claro que sí.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. And don't even mention that Representative Linda Sanchez, who's coming up in a couple of minutes, is also a wise Latina woman.
She is
just taking race out of this entirely. We are not Republicans.
She's a wise Latina woman, though.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I mean, there's no getting around that. Heck, I'm a wise Latina woman.
You're not.
Oh.
You're dumb. All right. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Shano with a salute to the Sotomayor hearings yesterday as we get ready to begin day 3 of the big hearings.
We have boiled down the Sonia Sotomayor confirmation hearings.
The right to bear arms.
Record on abortion rights.
The wise Latina vote.
The wise Latina speech. Wise Latina.
A wise Latina woman.
A wise
Nothing outlasts the Energizer.
Sonia Sotomayor.
Muddled, confusing, backtracking on issue after issue.
Latina woman.
Sonia Sotomayor.
If I go home, get a gun, come back and shoot you.
Say hello to my little friend.
You have lots of explaining to do.
Isn't that a dilly?
What do you think has been accomplished in these hours?
From the Republican point of view, I think a lot of nothing.
Thank you, Shana. And Chris, I apologize. You are a dumb white. I so apologize for my previous comment.
I accept your apology.
Dave in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on the Sotomayor hearings. Hello, Dave.
Hello. Just for the record, I am not a wise Latina woman.
Okay.
Given the Republicans' inability to discern reality from fantasy, are they going to be channeling the Flying Nun series today? And perhaps whether Sister ask Sonia Sotomayor whether Sister Gertrude has been promoted to Mother Superior and whether Carlos Ramirez still runs the casino.
All right. I'm not sure what sitcom references will be used today. Let's go to Michael in Chicago. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
You know what? I think there's an absolute strong undercurrent of racism happening during these hearings by the Republicans. Even take.
Oh, it's not so much an undercurrent; it's an overcurrent and an undercurrent.
Yeah, this. You know, the way the Republicans are even talking to her and the tone they're using in her questions, it sort of reminds me of, you know, they're suddenly confronted with a maid who's asking for a raise or asking for.
Yeah, here's my prediction today for the horrible racist Republican faux pas. Lindsey Graham will say, "I like you. You remind me of that funny maid on Will and Grace."
Yeah, so it's more than just the comments. It's like the whole deal. It's really shocking.
Yeah, well, not really, because they're Republicans.
Right.
Tanner in Oklahoma, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on the hearings as well. Hi, Tanner.
Oh, yes. Pat Buchanan had a solution on the Republicans and the Hispanic vote.
Mm.
Did you hear about that?
No, I did not.
He said that they need to increase the white vote, so that way the Hispanic vote would be non-important.
Oh, I see. They need to be further marginalized in our society, essentially.
Well, was he suggesting that white people should just get busy making babies?
No, this is what he suggests. He said that last election, you know, with Barack Obama, that the total vote was 9% Hispanic. He said that they could increase the white vote by, 2%.
Yeah, it was basically wake up white people was his point.
Yeah, basically. Uh-huh. I mean, it was very – I mean, he's just being honest now. He said they should just go after Sotomayor. He said they need to bring up race a lot so that way white people can get up off their duff and go vote.
I see. All right. Thank you, Tanner, for summarizing. Yeah, I believe he was on Hardball. That's what he said to Chris Matthews. It was essentially wake up white people. And by the way, Chris.
He got a little pretty male thing.
That's the truth.
Diane in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Welcome. How you doing? I was just talking about Pat yesterday. It was absolutely ridiculous. Did you hear what he said about the what's her name? Help me with it.
Estrada.
Her name.
Miguel Estrada.
No, the black guy, Pat Buchanan.
Yes.
He was talking about her accolades and stuff, how she went to college. Oh, they just threw her in there.
Oh, that's right.
She was affirmative action. That's what he was, yeah. Okay, Pat. All right. 28 minutes after the hour. Right back with Representative Linda Sanchez on the Stephanie Miller Show.
You know, Stephanie Miller.
Always wanted to be a Broadway dancer.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12. The phone number toll free from anywhere. Oh, Republicans have given notice, by the way, that today's Sotomayor hearings will be all about explaining the wise Latina comment again. Won't that be fun? 1-800-STEP-12. The phone number toll free from anywhere. If only there were some. Huh? Why, who is it, Jim?
I better turn my mic on. From the great state of California, it's Representative Linda Sanchez.
Well, I think it goes without saying, as a wise Latina woman, good morning, Congresswoman.
Good morning.
Are you looking forward to today's horrible racist Republican faux pas at the Sotomayor hearings?
It will be interesting to see how they can further put their feet in their mouths.
Were you as appalled as I was? We were listening to it live. We were airing it live on the show when Jeff Sessions said, "Now, there's this other Puerto Rican judge that you didn't agree with. Why is that?"
Yeah.
I didn't really just hear that, did I?
Yeah, less than subtle. I didn't get a chance to hear all of the hearings because obviously we're running around working on the health care bill up here on the Hill. But, I saw the highlights.
Yeah.
Or the low points.
Yes, and then Tom Coburn whipped out his Ricky Ricardo impression yesterday.
Because we all speak like that.
And then I thought Lindsey Graham was just unbelievably patronizing. Like she's a child, like giving her a time out to think about her temperament.
Well, it's the Senate. You know, they are generally patronizing.
Now, before we get started, did you get our bunch of baby stuff we sent you?
And thank you so much. It took some figuring out to figure out who it was from, but thank you so much.
There was no card.
Well, it was like a name we didn't recognize from Connecticut. I actually thought it was, somebody that Jim knew.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. You know what? It's the guy that owns the show that's trying to kill me for the life insurance money.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
That's what it is.
Yes. But as you know, we're all childless losers, so we weren't really good at picking out baby stuff. So we just, we hope they enjoy the chainsaw and the blackjack cards.
And the nunchucks were.
Yeah, thank you. Oh, good. Right. Good.
Sotomayor already wrote me a note about not letting him use them in public.
It's baby's first nunchucks. All right. Congresswoman, so what is your, you said that I know you, but we're going to get into health care because obviously that's, what you've been working day and night on here.
Yeah.
But what is your take on the Sotomayor hearings and, how this is playing?
Well, obviously she's demonstrated that she's incredibly, capable. She's,
Brilliant.
Brilliant. She's got the, educational credentials. She's got, more experience. She's going to bring more federal judicial experience to the Supreme Court than any other justice has in 100 years because she's been a prosecutor. She's done corporate litigation. She's sat as a federal trial judge and on the Second Circuit Court of Appeals. So she has the experience and the intellect to do a really great job on the court.
Yeah, that's what strikes me. We were saying yesterday is that just these Republican guys that are questioning her just seem they're like way out of their league intellectually. I sort of picture them with little animated birds gum around their head after some of her answers.
She runs circles around them. Yeah. I mean, she's just so knowledgeable. And the thing that really kind of gets me, and I'm just, going to say this, because I've experienced a little bit of this being the only Latina on the Judiciary Committee here in the House, but people either, grossly underestimate you because they think, oh, how cute. It's very patronizing. A little brown woman is, is here trying to, decide issues of the law or, trying to discuss issues of law. It's either patronizing or condescending, or they think that there's no way you could possibly be qualified. Must have got there by some fluke or because they're promoting people who are less qualified. Well, let me tell you, you don't get to be first in your class at Princeton,
right?
Or on the Yale Law Review, by fluke or because somebody gave it to you because they took pity on you. You earn it,
right? Representative Sanchez, that's almost what struck me as even more racist is people going, oh, look how well-spoken she is. Like,
exactly.
That's a surprise.
Right. How clean and how well-spoken.
And articulate.
Yeah. Right.
Boy, I don't know. Have you heard what they're left with on the Republican side? Pat Buchanan actually on TV yesterday said the way that the Republicans can address the Hispanic vote is just basically get more white people so they have to vote for them so it doesn't matter who
Pat
Hispanic
Buchanan
people vote for.
Is less than stellar in his comments. He made some comment about Sotomayor early on because she was a member in College of La Raza that it was, the Hispanic equivalent of the KKK. And it's like, excuse me, they never, lynched people or, burned down churches or, it's just completely ridiculous the way they try to make something out of nothing. And so Pat Buchanan's not big in my book in terms of really knowing what the hell is going on.
Well, it's all they've got. Congresswoman, talk to us about health care, because obviously, yesterday was a big day. The House passed something. One of the Senate committees passed something. But, of course, the headlines I'm still reading is we still have a long ways to go. What's your take on it?
Sure. Sure. Well, I sit on the Ways and Means Committee. We're actually marking up the bill in Ways and Means today. We're moving it forward, and I got to tell you, I'm optimistic that we'll get this done. It's a number one priority of the president. It's something that's critically needed in this country, and the cost of simply sitting on our hands and doing nothing and letting healthcare costs grow exponentially, and people continue to lose coverage. That's not an option. It's going to be more expensive for us to sit around and do nothing and allow the broken healthcare system to limp along than it is to really take the bull by the horns, do something proactive, make these fixes and make these changes, and lower cost for everybody, increase their choice, and then cover more people.
Well, that's the thing that drives me the craziest. When I get callers all the time that say, we can't afford it. We can't afford health care. And I just, for the life of me, I don't understand how we think we can't afford. We can't not afford to do it, can we? I mean, this is part of what's been breaking our economy.
Correct. It is. It's what's, health care costs have risen every year higher than the average wage has risen and higher than the rates of inflation have risen. And, people continue, the answer is, for insurance companies to deny coverage to people and to raise premiums. And so less and less people are able to afford health care. And it's only a matter of time before nobody but millionaires are going to be able to afford it.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to get this done this year. It's got to be done. There's no alternative.
And yet, here we are. The Republicans, of course, are going to scream about raising the taxes a penny on the rich again, on top 1%. We're only talking about raising about a 1% tax increase, right?
It's actually going to be less than 1% on the people who work in a fall into the surtax category. And these are people that got huge tax cuts under the Bush administration for years and years and years. I mean, they were the people that least needed it and that got the biggest, got the bulk of tax breaks. So it's really just, in my opinion, it's looking at essential fairness.
Well, that's it, Congresswoman. Doesn't it make you crazy that there's all this screaming about, taxes from the Republicans? And, overall, you're still paying less tax than you paid under your hero, Ronald Reagan. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't make any sense.
Correct. Right. And the bulk of middle-class families and low-income families, they're going to have coverage, many of them, for the first time. And it's going to be something that's going to allow you, no matter if you lose your job, you get laid off, you transfer your job, you're always going to have your health care benefit. And that is what is exciting, is that it is, you're not going to have to worry about never being covered again.
I know that you've got your Linda's online health care forum. We had a caller yesterday, because there's so much misinformation out there, Congresswoman. He was saying, look, I can't afford any insurance. He's a musician or whatever. So he said, I'm going to be criminalized under this bill.
No.
If I don't buy insurance.
Not true. Not true. And the fact of the matter is, for people who, work in industries that are seasonal or that, aren't always full-time employment, they're going to be able to keep and maintain those health care benefits no matter what. I mean, again, no matter if you, get busted down from, full-time status to part-time status, if you get furloughed, if you get, laid off,
Well, but I guess what his question is, if he can't afford health insurance now, how is this plan going to help him?
Because it's going to make health insurance affordable. It's mm-hmm. going to make, the premiums affordable for people who, based on their income and, the federal poverty level, and there's different tiers of increments, but there are also subsidies to help people who are going to have problems paying the premiums, help them be able to afford
mm-hmm,
it.
Mm-hmm. That's the thing is, you can really tell some of this Republican fear-mongering works. Because he told us this story that he pays cash now when he has to go to the doctor. I'm like, well, that doesn't seem like a workable plan, does
right,
it?
Right.
But the Republicans have convinced you whatever the Democrats are going to do is worse.
Right, and we already have, they talk about scare tactics, but health care ration, we already have it here.
Yeah.
I mean, because if you don't have health insurance, you don't really have access to health care. If that's not rationing, I don't know what is.
Yeah.
But in fact, it's going to increase access for folks. And, I've talked to some colleagues up here who've gotten calls that said, you know, we don't want a government plan, you know, because we're talking about a public option, which, you know, the creation of which will help reduce costs, because there's now going to be real competition, not just all these insurance insiders nodding and winking and setting their premiums. They're actually going to have to, you know, compete with, you know, real competitors for people's health care coverage. You know, but they'll call and they'll say, oh, we don't want, you know, a government involved in health care, but I love my Medicare. Don't touch it.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it makes no sense at all.
Makes no sense.
Because the misinformation, it is always a tactic of the Republicans to use fear to try to motivate people into paralysis, into doing nothing. You know, we're not buying it. We're moving forward. Like I said, we're taking the bull by the horns. We're trying to do something that is going to be phenomenally good for this country. And as, like I said, reduce costs. It's going to increase choice, and it's also going to expand coverage.
And Congresswoman, we appreciate, I know you have been right in the thick of it, doing such great work on health care, and we appreciate you doing that and keeping us informed. And if only we had all wise Latina women, we would get this thing done in no time.
I don't know, Stephanie. You have some explaining to do.
Oh, no, you didn't. All right. So Congresswoman Linda Sanchez, thanks, honey. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. My
there
pleasure.
She goes, our favorite Congresswoman.
Yay!
She's our homegirl, you know.
That's right.
From Orange County, behind the orange curtain.
That's right.
She just whipped out her Ricky Ricardo. Okay.
Yeah, she did. Wow.
This show makes people do silly things.
Yes.
44 minutes.
Even James Woolsey told a joke. So
yeah, what's up with that?
44 minutes after the hour. Back with the live Sonia Sotomayor hearings as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
This whole place just feels like a warm blanket.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 49 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Mike in Seattle on the Sonia Sotomayor hearings. Hello, Mike.
Hello.
Hi, go ahead.
I've been watching the hearings, and I've been made aware of the fact that Sotomayor is a Latina. Are you aware of this?
I was not aware of that. Maybe perhaps that will come up today.
Maybe. I'll watch carefully in TiVo. But one thing I wanted to point out that I haven't heard anybody say is, of the Ricci case, about the firefighters discrimination, it was 17 white firefighters and 2 Hispanic firefighters.
She hates Hispanics, clearly.
Yeah, so clearly she's a racist because she ruled against the white and Hispanic firefighters and in favor of the black.
Perhaps they will cover that today, her background as a self-hating Hispanic. Jim!
Hey, but they were Puerto Ricans, too. Why didn't you take their side?
Who said, when I get a case about discrimination, I have to think about people in my own family who suffered discrimination because of their ethnic background or because of religion or because of gender, and I do take that into account. Who said that?
Adolf Hitler.
No, Judge Samuel Alito, who Republicans didn't seem
really
to question him so closely about that, oddly.
That is odd.
Let's join the Sotomayor confirmation live in progress.
About your rule that such a rule would amount to a de facto quota system.
Kyle again.
In which a focus on statistics could put
still not wearing a jacket.
To make hiring decisions.
He was the tooliest yesterday.
I think it's highly disrespectful that he's not wearing a jacket.
Test results or other employment practices with the intent of obtaining employers' preferred racial balance. I guess we both agree that that is not a good result. Let me ask you about a comment you made about the dissent in the case. A lot of legal commentators have noted that while the basic decision was 5-4, that all 9 of the justices disagreed with your panel's decision to grant summary judgment, that all 9 of the judges believed that the court should have been, that the district court should have found the facts in the case that would allow it to apply a test. Your panel had one test. The Supreme Court had a different test. The dissent had yet a different test. But in any case, whatever the test was, all 9 of the justices believed that the lower court should have heard the facts of the case before summary judgment was granted. I heard you to say that you disagreed with that assessment. Do you agree that the way I stated it is essentially correct?
It's difficult because there were a lot of opinions in that case. But the engagement among the judges was varied on different levels. And the first engagement that the dissent did,
meaning
with
it's too complicated for you to understand, you stupid right-wing tool.
If you're going to apply this new test, this new standard, then you should give the circuit court an opportunity to evaluate the evidence.
Well, Judge, I have to interrupt you there. The court didn't say if you're going to apply a new standard, you need to send it back. All nine justices said that summary judgment was inappropriate, that the case should have been decided on the facts. There were three different tests, the test from your court, the test of the majority of the Supreme Court, and the test of the dissent. Irrespective of what test it was, they said that the case should not have been decided on summary judgment. All nine justices agreed with that, did they not?
I don't believe that's how I read the dissent. It may have to speak for itself, but Justice Ginsburg took the position that the Second Circuit's panel opinion should be affirmed. And she took it by saying that no matter how you looked at this case, it should be affirmed. And so I don't believe that was my conclusion reading the dissent, but obviously it will speak for itself.
Well, it will, and I guess commentators can opine on it. I could read commentary from.
I think I will.
You're people like
a right-wing douche nozzle.
No.
All right. Let's I need to take a break from. He was the meanest yesterday, I think.
You think so?
He was the tooliest of all the tools yesterday. Max in Los Angeles, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hey, Max.
Hey, you know, these senators are disgraceful. Graham and Sessions are terrible. Coburn is totally clueless. He's the guy that a few years ago wanted to censure NBC because they showed Schindler's List uncut and there was some nudity there. They're human debris. I mean, these guys have disgraced the Senate so much. They have no idea of what decorum is.
Yeah, I mean, they've not only essentially called her a racist, Max, but yesterday they called her a liar. I mean, Sessions and Kyle essentially called her a liar yesterday. You know.
Oh, they did. And it's so obvious that the problem they have is that the smartest person on the court will be not only a woman, but a woman of color.
Yeah.
And that's the problem.
Exactly. Yeah, they use Senate speak, I give you, but noted racist Jeff Sessions said she wasn't being, quote-unquote, forthcoming with the judiciary. He said, I think the judge has been reluctant to acknowledge how her comments today differ from a fair analysis of her speeches in years past. For the love of God. Senator John Kyle said it more on the head yesterday. Part of it goes to her honesty. What she said here would mislead the ordinary person who hadn't read the speech. I think there's a lot more that she needs to address with respect to some of the questions. I just find it hard to chalk it up to a bad choice of words. Seriously, how many times is she going to have to explain one statement she made in one speech how many years ago? So that's what the story today. GOP not buying Latina explanation. To hear Supreme Court nominee Sonia Sotomayor tell it was all a few poorly chosen words, which she has said, meant to inspire women and Latinos entering the law. At her confirmation hearings, Republicans are making clear they don't buy it. They say they plan to keep their questioning of Sotomayor's true feelings on the role of ethnicity and gender in the law at Wednesday's hearing, and edged right up to the line of saying that Sotomayor was being dishonest. I mean, seriously, how much more disrespectful are these hearings going to get? I mean, how many times can she explain that? She has said unequivocally, I do not believe, you know, ethnicity or gender play any role in someone being able to be a good judge. Susan in Knoxville, Tennessee, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Suze.
Hey, Stephanie.
Hey,
Nukes.
Hi.
Hey, listen, I don't know if anyone saw Keith Olbermann last night, but Senator Coburn, I believe he's out of Alabama, and he...
Oklahoma.
Sorry. He used to be a doctor.
Yes.
He asked Sotomayor if a woman who was 38 weeks pregnant found out if her child had spina bifida, would she be okay with that woman having an abortion? 38 weeks is 9.5 months.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he's...
I mean,
yeah. He's an extra crispy bucket of anti-choice guy, in case you didn't know.
It's not big on math.
Yeah, and we'll give you, there's some questionable Tom Coburn fun facts we will get into after the break. 57 minutes after the hour, back with stand-up news and live Sotomayor hearings as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. The Rude Pundit. Coming up on the Celebrity Hotline next hour, he is rude and hilarious.
That's right, and he's going to be a regular on the show beginning Monday.
Yes, he is.
Yes.
Unless I got tired of him. You never know, I'm prickly like that.
Well, yeah, you are.
This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show.
You're spicy like that.
Brought to you by Pontiac. The Pontiac Summer Closeout is here. Hurry to get the Pontiac you want before they're gone, like the 09 G6, the powerful G8, or the 5-door Pontiac Vibe. Visit PontiacDealer.com. Take delivery by 7/31/09. See dealer for details, won't you? StephanieMiller.com is the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. The Sonia Sotomayor hearings are proceeding apace. Yesterday, guess who got to ask a question, Bill O'Reilly? Senator Al Franken.
Judge, what is your definition of judicial activism?
I don't use that word because that's something different than what I consider to be the process of judging, which is each judge coming to each situation trying to figure out what the law means, applying it to the particular fact before that judge.
Al Franken got his first laugh of the Senate. Did you hear that part?
No.
He asked if she remembered the name of the one case that Perry Mason lost. Sotomayor said the show inspired her to become a prosecutor, but I wish I remember the name of the episode. And Franken said, didn't the White House prepare you? To which there was wild laughter. She said, yes, but I had a lot of cases to review.
Yeah, she had other things to pay attention to other than Perry Mason episodes.
Wasn't that funny?
Mocking the Republicans.
Wasn't that
for
funny, Bill O'Reilly?
That's funny.
Senator Al Franken.
I am proud to stand before you as the next senator from Minnesota.
Thing sucks!
He and then a he. Okay, the president on the health care looks like it is proceeding.
Those who would oppose our efforts should take a hard look at just what it is that they're defending. Over the last decade, health insurance premiums have risen 3 times faster than wages.
All right.
And apropos that, the movie channel will be airing Sicko, the Michael Moore documentary about the health insurance industry.
Ooh.
Tonight.
Fabulous. I have yet to see that. I think I'll tune in.
I just saw it on Cinemax like last week.
Oh, really?
Yes.
StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out if you want to see Mama live. I will be in San Francisco Saturday, July 25th. That's next Saturday, kids. And then when is it? August 8th, I will be in Seattle at the Town Hall with my other buddies, Tom Hartman, Bill Press, Michael Loy, and Ron Reagan. Come on out and see, go to the calendar section of StephanieMiller.com. Find out how to get tickets to come see Mama.
See.
Mm-hmm. All right. Tommy has sent a beaver stack for today. You know, another beaver has been rescued, Jim.
Oh, thank God.
The rescued beaver has been released at Flint Hills Pond. After 6 months of recovery, a rescued beaver is ready for the wild.
So it's basically catch and release.
Yes.
Hmm.
Beaver is ready to go wild.
Hmm.
Wildlife authorities released it's a female beaver, Jim.
It's kind of redundant.
At a large watershed pond in Flint Hills. Let's see, blah, blah, blah. She has adapted to captivity amazingly well. By the way, how's Mrs. Ward? All right. But it's time to give the animal its freedom. Sometimes you must free the beaver.
Yeah.
On Thursday afternoon, the beaver was munching on some raw sweet potatoes. Wow. I don't think I've even seen that in Thailand, even. Guest said the beaver had spent its whole life in the wild before being rescued from the fountain. her younger beaver companion died shortly after the December rescue. Oh, it's like fried green tomatoes. When the female beaver arrived at the exhibit, her coat was in horrible shape, and she was off balance and weak from starvation and dehydration. She needs a little grooming.
Britney Spears. She needs a little water?
A little grooming. During the past months, her coat had become furrier, and she now weighs about 40 pounds. Wow, that's a big beaver.
Nice beaver.
Oof.
Thank you. I just had it stuffed.
While Gress and Story referred to the rescued beaver as a she, they're not 100% sure of the beaver's gender.
Can't you just...
So they just called it Ann Coulter. Okay. Hey. Flarg.
Can't you just lift its tail and look?
With beavers, it's hard to tell, actually, Story said, because they keep everything tucked away.
Much like Ann Coulter.
Flarg! With a flarg!
Yeah, but Ann Coulter does it with duct tape.
Tuck it in sometimes. That's all what's up and what's what there. Okay, thank you for that beaver stack. Let's check some other news we don't want to lose, shall we, kids? Here we go.
Yippee! It's time for stand-up news. And now, here's anchor person, Stephanie Miller.
Thank you. When news breaks here, it stays broken. Our top story... Former President Bill Clinton has expressed his support for gay marriage, a stance he did not hold while during the presidency. So I guess
thanks,
welcome
Bill.
A little too late.
Better late than never.
Well, still.
During his presidency, Clinton passed the Defense of Marriage Act, of course, which defines marriages between one man and one woman. He said, I personally support people doing whatever, what they want to do, Clinton said on July 8th. I think it's wrong for someone to stop someone else from doing that.
Well, then why did you sign the Defense of Marriage Act,
yes, I guess,
sir?
That was the political thing to do back then. Long with no gays in the military. Okay. We have the former president's thoughts.
I've had a change of heart concerning same-sex marriage. I'm gradually taking the position to where I believe that no one should be forbidden from loving whoever they want to. As I get older and I realize that time is getting shorter, it's become clear to me that restricting the human heart and human possibilities is a terrible waste of time and opportunity. Take my case, for instance. When I look back on the choices I made, I realize that I could have had ever so much more on the side if I hadn't foolishly limited myself to just the one team.
Oh, no.
I mean, a thong on the tight behind of a male intern is just as hot as one on the pudding buns of a female, don't you think? A pizza eaten with an Audi is just as tasty as one shared with an innie, right? So I think I just as soon assumed the position with some of the fellas now, man. Time's getting short, and Hill's off traipsing around being madam secretary, and they got this brand new heart that needs to be put through its paces to keep it strong. So why the heck not? The only thing I can't figure out is what to do with the cigar, but last for London, ain't it? Oh, Hill, I thought you were in Afghanistan. Ow, not so hard. You'll hurt your broken elbow. I see. You've been working out with your left hand. Me too.
Oh boy.
Wow.
Feels like someone else is doing it.
Her elbow's much better already.
Yeah, good for her. Well, no, she's using the left hand.
No.
Yes.
And finally,
much like Bill.
And finally, the headline
As
is...
As I said, feels like someone else. Never mind.
The headline...
You wouldn't understand.
Yeah.
The headline is, upcoming military robot could feed on dead bodies.
Ew.
Ew. A Maryland company...
Why would it need to feed?
It must feed. A Maryland company only...
Must feed.
Only Will Smith probably knows. A Maryland company under contract to the Pentagon is working on a steam-powered robot that would fuel itself by gobbling up whatever organic material it can find, grass, wood, old furniture, even dead bodies. We have Dick Vader with some thoughts.
Lest you pusillanimous peons in the Imperial Democrat Congress begin to believe you have the upper hand. And that I somehow will become vulnerable to your feeble attempts at retribution. I have decided to release one of my house pets as a companion to the Imperial Stormtroopers. This is a robot that can use any organic matter for fuel. Garbage, foliage, dead bodies. And live bodies as well, although we won't noise about that just yet. It's called the Eater. Eater is just one of the wonderful toys I have at my disposal, which, when they are finally seen, will cause mass pants piddling amongst my enemies. There is the stealth bat, which will suck out your brains before you even know it's there. There is the mobile bramble patch, which will drag itself across the yam sacks of my adversaries with stainless steel thorns, each with barbed tips that thrust in but never pull out. That one's a particular favorite of mine. I call it Fluffy. And if Fluffy doesn't deter the poodles in the Imperial Congress, I shall release the big guns. These are devices consisting of whirling, expanding, razor-sharp, pointy things, which, with which they can all go themselves. What if they refuse to volunteer? Let's just say these beauties have their own instructions. What was that? Something about investigating me over some trivial death squad. Go ahead. Make my day. I didn't think so. Weenies.
Weenies?
I'm surprised he didn't say something a little more strong than that.
Weenies has been called. All right, that's all for stand-up news. I'm here all week. Tell your friends if you'd like more Jim Ward, Balderall.
Check out Jim Ward's Apocryphal But True. There's a tile ad at the Stephanie Miller website, stephaniemiller.com, and buy the downloadable album, why don't you?
Please. We join the Sonia Sotomayor hearings live in live in progress as Republican pantywaist Lindsey Graham is questioning her once again.
The Supreme Court matters. I do believe at
again?
The end of the day, you're not going to find a law book that tells you whether or not a fundamental right exists vis-a-vis the Second Amendment, that you're going to have to rely upon your view of America, who we are, how far we've come, and where we're going to go, and our relationship.
He's sucking up to the NRA because they're getting an itchy trigger finger.
That's right.
These choices are so important. And here's what I'll say about you. And you may not agree with that, but I believe that's what you're going to do. And I believe that's what every other justice is going to do. And here's what I will say about you. I don't know how you're going to come out on that case. Because I think fundamentally, Judge, you're able, after all these years of being a judge, to embrace a right that you may not want for yourself. To allow others to do things that are not comfortable to you, but for the group, they're necessary. That is my hope for you. That's what makes you, to me, more acceptable as a judge and not an activist. Because an activist
he says that to all the girls.
Would be a judge who would be chomping at the bit to use this wonderful opportunity to change America through the Supreme Court by taking their view of life and imposing it on the rest of us. I think and believe, based on what I know about you so far, that you're broad-minded enough to understand that America is bigger than the Bronx. It's bigger than South Carolina.
He's being over-the-top patronizing.
Yeah.
During your time as an advocate, do you understand identity politics? What is identity politics?
Is it just me that wants to stuff his tie in his mouth right now?
Simply on a person's characteristics, generally referred to either race or ethnicity or gender, religion. It is politics based on...
Do you embrace identity politics personally?
Personally, I don't, as a judge in any way, embrace it with respect to judging. As a person, I do believe that certain groups have and should express their views on whatever social issues may be out there. But as I understand the word identity politics, it's usually denigrated because it suggests that individuals are not considering what's best for America.
Do you think
that's my and that I don't believe in. I think that whatever a group advocates, obviously it advocates on behalf of its interests and what the group thinks it needs, but I would never endorse a group advocating something that was contrary to some basic constitutional right as it was known at the time, although people advocate changes in the law all the time.
Do you believe that your speeches, properly read, embrace identity politics?
I think my speeches embrace the concept that I just described, which is groups, you have interests that you should seek to promote. What you're doing is important in helping the community develop. Participate. Participate in the process of your community. Participate in the process of
good for her.
Helping to
how many different ways are they going to ask her, essentially, are you a racist?
I don't describe it as identity policies because it's not that I'm advocating the groups do something illegal.
Well, Judge, to be honest with you, your record as a judge has not been radical by any means, is to me left of center, but your speeches are disturbing, particularly to conservatives, quite frankly, because
Rita Jeff Sessions' speech and get back to us. 20 minutes after the hour, back with more of the Sonia Sotomayor Supreme Court nomination hearings as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
And we'll be right back.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show up in here. 25 minutes after the hour.
Don't do that.
1-800-STEPH-1 to the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Why? I speak jive.
You're a 50-year-old woman.
I am not even close to 50.
I speak jive.
Oh, good. Bastard.
Okay.
Okay, you're 60.
Tim, my right-wing love muffin in Detroit. Hello, Tim.
Hello.
Hello, Tim.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
Just my comment was regarding Sotomayor. Just a couple of concerns with what she said 8 years ago and compared to what she said now. I believe if I were a senator, I would have, several questions regarding that, and then also regarding 4 out of the 6 cases that were overturned.
Which is the same record that Alito and Roberts had. They were overturned the exact same number of times.
Yeah, and they were asked about that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was no big deal. She is more than qualified to be a Supreme Court mm-hmm. justice. But my question to her, I mean, the only way you can tell if she's telling the truth is hook her up to a lie detector, because what she said 8 years ago and what she said now is 180 degrees. I would like to ask her, did you believe in what you said 8 years ago? And if so, what changed your mind within those 8 years?
How many more times can she explain it, Tim? She's explained it now 47 times, and they keep asking the question. She said it was a rhetorical flourish that fell flat. She has said in no uncertain terms she does not believe any, ethnicity or gender makes you a better judge than anyone else.
Yeah, but how do you know she's telling the truth when she says that?
Because clearly she's a racist and a liar. All right.
What confirmation hearings are for. God.
The Associated Press scoreboard rates the winners and losers so far. The winner, Sotomayor. So far, at least, she's looking like a very wise Latina. Confident, smart, unflappable, and deftly laying the groundwork for good relations with those likely to soon be her fellow justices on the Supreme Court. The losers, Senator Jeff Sessions, wondering out loud about Sotomayor's racial biases, made Sessions' past relevant and front-page news. Sessions was blocked from the federal bench himself 2 decades ago for making insensitive remarks about the KKK and the NAACP.
Loser.
Mm-hmm. All right. And by the way, Tom Coburn, we have the not-so-fun facts about him. He was the one questioning her yesterday about abortion.
Yes.
He wants us sterilized a woman without her consent as a doctor in Oklahoma.
Isn't that nice?
Yes. And he also, what else did he say? He said homosexuals are the biggest threat to national security that we have.
Well, he said the homosexual agenda is the biggest threat to American freedom.
The gays are
particularly taking your freedom. What agenda would that be exactly?
It's the gay abortion
agenda to be all gay and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The agenda ends with a cocktail party, though.
28 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
What? I got a fever. And the only prescription is more.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Let's go to Stan in Washington. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Stan.
Hello there, beautiful.
Well, hello there.
I speak to you, and I beg you, and I beseech you, I want to be your official, let's get this straight here, I am a gay pagan disabled veteran ex-convict.
Wow.
Wow. Hello, Nell.
Thank you for your service.
Our numbers are legion, and thank you, and welcome home, all the brothers out there. Welcome home, brother. Welcome home, sister.
All right. Go ahead, Stan.
I'm standing here at the VA hospital, the single-payer thing that doesn't work. The reason I called is very, very simple. When I watch the Republicans talking about their health care and how everything is fine the way it is and it's eating this economy alive, imagine the Pony Express rider tearing down the planes, biting off chunks of his horse while he's riding. That's what they're doing. They're eating this entire economy, eating this country alive, all for the simple fact of profit.
Yep.
And they fall back on this biblical interpretation. Jesus was a prophet, but it's spelled differently.
Yep, absolutely. All right. We mentioned before the break that Senator Tom Coburn, Republican of Oklahoma, was trying to pin. He's a noted anti-choice whack from Oklahoma, was trying to pin down Sotomayor on Roe v. Wade. But we were just saying you should know the fun facts, and he is a former, well, he's still a doctor, obviously, but he's a doctor that sterilized a woman without her consent.
That's right. Removed her fallopian tube.
Yeah, there was a lawsuit about that.
Yep.
And also he said that the homosexual agenda is the biggest threat to freedom in America.
Yep.
So just so you know who you're talking to. Okay, Senator Coburn yesterday at the hearing.
Let's say I'm 38 weeks pregnant and we discover a small
sac
on the lower sacrum, the lower part of the back on my baby. And I feel like I just can't handle a child with that. Would it be legal in this country to terminate that child's life?
I can't answer that question in the abstract because I would have to look at what the state of the state's law was on that question. And even if I knew that, I probably couldn't opine because I'm sure that situation might well arise before the court.
Was he was also the one that whipped out the Ricky Ricardo impression, was he not?
He certainly was.
Uh-huh. Did you hear this moment yesterday? This will be the horrible Republican racist faux pas of the day yesterday. This is Sotomayor, cut four, and Senator Tom Coburn.
If I go home, get a gun, come back and shoot you, that may not be legal under New York law because you would have alternative ways.
You'll have
to
lots
defend.
Of explaining to do.
I'd be in a lot of trouble then.
Babalo, get it, because you would understand the impression, because he's a Hispanic feller. Oh, dear God. If someone brings bongos today, I'm just going to... Okay. Yeah. Let's go to Tim in Chicago on the Coburn moment yesterday. Hello, Tim.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hello, go ahead.
I called mainly the caller before the hour talked about 38 weeks. That's a common misconception when I see patients. What they do is they divide the number of weeks by four, and they come up with 9.5. 38 weeks would actually be 2 weeks before your due date.
Yeah.
However, I hadn't heard that comment that you just played. Terminating a baby at 38 weeks is kind of that's kind of a ridiculous question because you don't terminate. I mean, that would simply – that baby would survive, so there would be no such thing as termination. You could induce it.
Right.
And deliver it, but you're not going to that's kind of a silly question.
Yeah, well, it was a whole, they were playing all kinds of hypothetical gotcha with her, essentially. Let's go to what?
And she refused to take any of the bait because she said, well, you know, each one of these would depend on, you know, each state's law and, you know, the various things in the case.
Yeah, no, they were not able to pin her down.
If you looked at my record, I have ruled according to the law in all cases addressed to the issue of the termination of abortion rights, of women's right to terminate their pregnancy.
You're one of them Mexican baby killers, ain't you? That's what we want you to say. Come on, say it, admit it.
That was the essence of Republican questioning. Once again, Sonia Sotomayor.
The Constitution remains the same. Society changes. The situations it brings before courts change. But the principles are the words of the Constitution. Guided by how precedent gives or has applied those principles to each situation, and then you take that and you look at the new situation.
You know, it's ridiculous. They're having this firefighter testify.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, again, how many times can she say she was respecting precedent?
Right.
as were a lot of the other judges on her panel, but they're going to try to, like, show a human face on how racist she is. Is that the whole point of having him testify? We already know what the case is.
Right.
We know why she ruled the way she ruled.
She was upholding precedent. It's the Supreme Court that was being activist.
Thank you.
By overturning her.
Jeff exactly. In Connecticut, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi. I just wanted to make a comment about Lindsey Graham. It's really kind of precious. It's really rich. Listen to a senator from South Carolina trying to pin the moniker of racism on a Puerto Rican woman from the Bronx. My wife and I are New Yorkers. My wife, in fact, is a black Latina from the Bronx. And listening to that kind of drivel is really kind of rich. But my favorite is your favorite too, Stephanie. Jefferson Davis Sessions. Yes, indeed.
Beauregard.
Yes, but he's referring to
that. Beauregard. Sessions the Third.
Yes, I think that the thing that ought to be known is that boy must have been the boy that was playing the banjo in Deliverance, because nobody got ears like that except Jorge Posada.
Like Jefferson Davis Sessions.
All right. Anne in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hey, Anne.
Hi.
Hi, go ahead.
Hi, I just wanted to say that Lindsey Graham is such a dope. He's sitting there telling Sotomayor that she will respect the rights of others to choose differently than herself. At the same time, he is a rabid anti-choice person and would never give a woman the chance to choose for herself something that he might choose.
Yep.
The hypocrisy boggles the mind.
Yeah, and could he be more patronizing in your personal opinion?
Oh, no.
Just
no.
The tone.
Send some more to me, Lindsey.
Yeah, please. Tim and Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on the aforementioned panty waste Lindsey Graham. Hello, Tim.
Yes, the hypocrisy does boggle the mind. I mean, he just makes me sick. I how many ways can you ask, one, is she racist? How many ways can you say, two, you're pretty much, hey, you're a baby killer, aren't you?
Yeah.
I mean, the questions he was asking about the Puerto Rican Defense Coalition or Fund, I'm sorry, I can't think right now. It's just, he's making me go crazy in my mind.
He's making you throw
the
up in your...
The more and more and more I listen to him, the more that it's, one, obvious that I think he's a racist.
Mm-hmm.
It's obvious that he doesn't care about a woman's choice. It doesn't matter what the law is right now.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. That's exactly. They want to respect precedent for laws they agree with, but not ones they don't.
I mean, it looks.
Then they want you to be an activist.
Well, yeah, they want her to be an activist for their side.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you know, there's Roe v. Wade. It's legal to have an abortion.
Established law.
Yeah, exactly.
Established law. What else do you want her to say? I mean, do you want her to say, yes, I agree with abortion because it's in the laws? It's there.
Yep, mm-hmm. Absolutely,
well,
buddy.
You should be a deactivist judge and deactivate Roe v. Wade. That's what y'all do.
Buddy in Columbus here on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, Lady Gaga.
Yes.
I got a couple things. It's number one, Lindsey Graham. Did he go to the Sean Hannity run-on preamble question school?
Yeah, I know. It really it is sort of offensive that it seems like this is just their opportunity to lecture, a really brilliant judge.
Instead of just saying, what is your opinion on identity politics, he has like 5 minutes of just drivel. You know, mm-hmm. yap. And she can answer him in like 30 seconds.
Right.
And yeah.
The second thing is to the guy in Detroit, Judge Sotomayor has the best record, as per the Supreme Court, of any judge on the federal bench.
Yep.
The best record. It has to do with cases that they will, hear. And she has the best record because they reject her cases all the time because they're so good.
Yeah. I know. Can you imagine any of us being judged for a job, not on our record and how we're qualified for that specific job, but something you said to some guy someplace at a dinner 8 years ago? It's like, what? All right. 42 minutes after the hour, we will rejoin the Sonia.
Call yourself a wise Latina woman. I would say uppity. That's what I would say.
And Jim will channel more racist Republican douche nozzles as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, my God. I am already having a fantastic time.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 47 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere.
What were you reading over there that you were chuckling?
I was reading the Rude Pundit, who will be coming up on the Celebrity Hotline next hour, who is very hilarious and also incredibly rude.
Yeah.
Which you would never know from the...
name.
The RudePundit.blogspot.com.
Yes.
The best commentary on the Sotomayor hearings I have
you know
just
what?
Read.
Even though it is rude and very funny, it is actually really...
It's really smart, but it's incredibly dirty.
Exactly.
Just the way we like it.
Let me give you a sampling. Can I have some comedy music, please?
All right.
From a Rude Pundit, who will be giving us some more observations on today's hearings. A few random observations. Oh, let me get my finger on the bleep button.
Yeah.
Hang on. A few random observations regarding the behavior of Republicans at the Sonia Sotomayor confirmation hearing. Number one, let us be able to praise those Republicans who actually wanted to talk about the law on cases and not whether or not wise Latinas are going to make pernil out of white men. Yeah, they're still f***ers, but at least they didn't act like they were ready to move because a Latino family moved into the neighborhood. See Jeff Sessions questioning a view of a man himself that Hispanics are walking on his side of the street. Number two, Lindsey Graham's a creepy mother who sounds like every child molesting uncle in Charleston. He was as twitchy and bizarre as a monkey that got into the meth stash. Number three, so the Republicans are left with portraying her as some kind of Manchurian judicial candidate, ready to finally reveal the tentacled liberal inside as part of her nefarious plot throughout her life to get on the Supreme Court so she could weave her relativistic Latina ways into the American mainstream. So said John Cornyn today, sounding like every laconic donkey or ever to come from the prairie. Number six, by the way, mostly this is boring. Number seven, in this hearing, Republicans are pretty much just themselves for the Latino vote. Yeah, I think we can pretty much all agree on that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Oh, okay, when he live blogs, Rude Pundit, you got to follow along.
Okay.
Yesterday he said, hey, look, it's racist wad of Jeff Sessions of Alabama getting ready to question Judge Sonia Sotomayor. Let's watch. And these were his thoughts on that.
Okay.
When Sessions asks about Sotomayor's statement that appellate court is where policy is made, she kicks Sessions' bony ass all over the place. Oh, yeah, Sessions is going to act like he's got something because the knuckle-draggers back home need to see him beat up an Hispanic woman. You ever spent time with white Alabaman guys? There's a reason why stereotype of backwards ass country exists. Sit on the couch on their front lawn and you'll learn. Sessions tries to read Sotomayor's statement with evil emphasis regarding the prejudice of judges. Sotomayor kicks him in the and says to stop teabagging himself and don't be an idiot. Adding, of course, judges have human opinions and prejudices that need to be recognized and addressed. Sessions doesn't actually give a what she says or how she answers. He's trying to get her to crack. Like, if she was pushed, she'll bring out maracas and yip and trill her voice, revealing the whitey-hating freaking Rican within.
Oh, no.
Did anyone ask John Roberts if John Roberts might have his privileged white background affect him, that he must overcome it in some way?
Yeah.
So Sessions brings up the Ricci case in this context, asking, were the facts you chose not to see in this case? Sotomayor says, the Supreme Court changed just recently. If that had been that was there before, I would have used that. Rude Pundit, who will be coming on live. And then it gets really, really dirty, and with all the bleeps, you wouldn't even know what I was saying.
Yeah.
But read it.
RudePundit.blogspot.com,
so
if you'd like
you
to
should
read
have
it.
Your hand on the delay button.
No, he's good. He's
okay.
Good.
Yeah,
at not cursing on
he
the
He understands.
Outlet. Yeah, he gets it.
All right, Hawkeye in California, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, how do these guys get elected? I mean, okay, I don't know who the clown was who said that gays are a national security risk, but I'm waiting for the
Tom Coburn.
I'm waiting for the Larry Craig press conference moment, you know what I mean? and then Coburn, you know, as a Mexican-American, I'm going to say this, no es bueno, hombre.
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's go to Jack in Sarasota, Florida, on the Sotomayor hearings. Hello, Jack.
Hello, Stephanie. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Now, regardless of how old you are, you sure look and sound hot, 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 as Ricardo would say.
Yeah, she's 60.
What hypocrites, what outrageous hypocrites that the Republicans have on that confirmation hearing.
Yep.
Senator Graham, who tries to charm the judge with sweet talk, such sexist sweet talk, and then blast her because of her speeches.
Yeah.
Says that some of her speeches bother him. Well, I'm sure that some of the Democrats on that committee ought to indicate to Senator Graham that some of his speeches and Jeff Sessions' speeches would bother the progressives.
Yeah, yeah. I know. Jeff Sessions I cracked me up yesterday. He said it's muddled, confusing, backtracking on issue after issue. I'm frankly a bit disappointed in the lack of clarity and consistency in her answers. Yeah, well, take your friggin' hood off. Maybe you're having trouble hearing. I mean, seriously, can you go through, can any normal person we know go through this? Like, hours and hours and hours. She has, and by all accounts, she has yet to make a slip in hours of this kind of, like, gotcha, you know, interrogations where they're just asking the same question over and over and over.
And what's amazing is that she doesn't have any notes in front of her to refer to. You know, she's writing a few things down on a legal pad,
but
she has no papers to refer to.
17 years of cases, they'll just throw something out and she'll be like, oh, well, the other judges had this, you know, and there was a precedent here and... Like, whoa.
And those clowns need notes to keep asking the same question over and over and
exactly.
over again.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. They have a little empathy stack, and then they have a little wise Latina stack.
Right.
Okay.
They definitely have an abortion stack.
Oh, dear God.
I know.
Sotomayor and John Cornyn yesterday.
I pointed out in the speech that 8-9 white men had decided Brown versus Board of Education.
Thank
you. Do you stand by your words of yesterday and when you said it was a failed rhetorical flourish that fell flat, that there are words that don't make sense and that they're a bad idea?
I stand by the words. It fell flat.
All right. And she probably has had to answer that.
Let me ask you again.
Let me put it another way. All right. Steve in Texas, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Steve.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Enjoying. I just wanted to make a comment about the Sotomayor hearings and the congressmen, the senators from the South. They're just basically performing for their hateful base. That's all it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the hypocrisy, you ought to hear the ones who speak out against the Obama stimulus package and funds, and you ought to see the millions flowing into our state.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Thank you. Let's go to Michael in Plano, Texas. Hello, Mike.
Hey, hello, folks. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Hey, listen, with the Sotomayor hearing, this woman either has got to be the best possible judge ever, or quite frankly, to sit there and listen to these village idiots time after time after time, she's either got to be on some major drugs.
And they have nerve to question her judicial temperament. I would have strangled all of them by now.
I would have leapt across there and just pimp-slapped each and every one of these guys.
Exactly. Ooh. Okay, Senator John Cornyn, Republican of Texas, yesterday.
White House press secretary said the president did not ask Sotomayor specifically about abortion rights during their interview. Is that correct?
Yes, it is absolutely correct. I was asked no question by anyone, including the president, about my views on any specific legal issue.
Okay, and Senator John Cornyn once again on physiological differences.
I'm struggling a little bit to understand how your statement about physiological differences could affect the outcome or affect judging, and your stated commitment to fidelity to the laws being your sole standard.
Yeah, I guess because she meant when she has her period, she's going to be ruled against rich white Republican men, probably. That's what she probably meant by that. Thanks for asking. Boy, you know it's bad when Dennis Miller's not even on your side.
Yeah.
on how the Republicans are handling. Of course, it's a little cynical. It's for the Hispanic vote. They should have handled it.
Well, you know what? Yeah, he does have a point here.
I think the Republicans misplayed this. This is a trade-out for Souter, who was Bush 41's GAC. This was a lateral move on the flow chart, liberal for liberal. They should have laid down on this and accrued some street cred in the barrio with the Hispanic vote, which they need to start nicking away at. They should have got so behind this woman right off the bat. You've got to save the powder for the Stevens thing. It's going to be 4-4. The Stevens seat is the one you have to save the powder for. And I think they're misplaying this. I would have got so behind her, I would have said, listen, after they shot down our Hispanic, Miguel Estrada, because they didn't care about him, we're happy they're putting a Hispanic in. God bless her. And then the Hispanic community is going, maybe I am going to vote for them in 2010.
He kind of does have a point there.
Well,
they're really misplaying this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, politically.
But the reason Estrada wasn't put through is because he was an incompetent boob who wouldn't answer questions.
Right.
Well, I love that it's all about politics for them. Or you could go with Pat Buchanan's theory yesterday, which is white people need to just start making more white people so that the Hispanic people don't matter anymore.
Huh?
And then we can put them all in camps. And then, perhaps I said too much.
Perhaps. All right. Tinsel Talk is next. The Rude Pundit and much more on the Sotomayor hearings as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. The Rude Pundit coming up on the Celebrity Hotline this hour. He is rude and hilarious.
And pundity.
StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Moore, to me, Stephanie Miller. This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by Pontiac. The Pontiac summer closeout is here. Hurry to get the Pontiac you want before they're gone, like the 09 G6, the powerful G8, or the five-door Pontiac Bod. Visit PontiacDealer.com. Take delivery by 7/31/09. See dealer for details, won't you? Okay, the Sonia Sotomayor hearings continue. Yesterday's reviewing now. Yesterday's horrible Republican racist faux pas would be Senator Tom Coburn whipping out his Ricky Ricardo impression.
If I go home, get a gun, come back and shoot you, that may not be legal under New York law because you would have alternative ways.
You'll have
to
lots
defend.
Of explaining to do.
I'd be in a lot of trouble then.
Oh, if he brings bongos today.
Tom, I want to be in the Supreme Court show.
Sonia, you cannot be in the show. Okay. Wow. Yes, some Latino organizations had the same reaction.
I'm surprised
you
didn't mention Jose Jimenez yet.
Wow.
I mean, Jose Jimenez.
Okay. Meanwhile, the...
Or Senor Wences. Yeah.
Yes, my friend. How are you today? All right.
I'm sure that's next.
Oh, yeah, a Senor Wentz's impression.
Take little eyes and mouth on his hand. And do Senor Wentz's
Who's the
bit.
Coffee guy? Is someone going to mention him today?
Hmm?
What's his name? Who am I thinking? Juan Valdez.
Oh, Juan Valdez.
Something.
It is burro.
Or I think, or my other prediction is Lindsey Graham's going to say, I like you. You're like that funny maid on Will and Grace. Okay. Meanwhile, as you know, a health care proposal cleared a Senate committee yesterday after the House passed whatever you call the thing, an outline. It's not a thing yet. It's a thing before the thing,
yeah,
before it's law.
And it doesn't tell you how they're going to pay for it.
Exactly.
So that's, yeah.
Not yet.
Okay.
We'll get there. Chuck Schumer yesterday.
That profitability is enough to make big oil executives blush.
Yeah, you're, I guess, going to be a rainer on the healthcare parade like Charles Krauthammer, aren't
Who,
you?
Me?
On the Britt Baer Show.
This is a fictional development because it's easy to do what the House and the Senate have done, which is to propose enormous amounts of goodies that are going to be handed out. The real issue and now and always is how you're going to pay for it.
Well, mm-hmm.
You got to get to a plan first, and then you got to get to the details after that, Charles.
You kind of got to... pay for it. I mean,
yes,
you don't want to run up more deficits.
They didn't seem to be worried about that when we were starting unnecessary wars.
I know that, but
yeah,
see, that's what makes
care
Democrats.
About how we were going to pay for that.
That's what makes Democrats different from Republicans.
Unnecessary war.
Computer says yeah.
Yes, sirree. Healthcare.
Computer says no.
No, we can't afford that. All right, Jim, I've decided where you'll probably go on your next vacation. Berlin has opened a sex academy.
Yes.
Where you can improve your technique by playing with the erogenous zones of naked mannequins, like you do every lunch hour anyway.
You already speak the language.
Yeah.
It's at a new interactive exhibition that has opened in, it's called the Amora Sex Academy. It opened in Berlin.
Ausgezeichnet.
More than 50 interactive displays guide visitors through the intimate areas of male and female bodies, offering helpful tips on everything from striptease to oral sex to how to achieve a perfect orgasm.
Hey, now. Yeah, boy.
One female mannequin lights up when touched in the right spot. A voice shrieks, "That's it!"
Oh, God.
When the visitor manages
fast, yeah, boy.
Put his finger
so
on the G-spot.
Oh, God. Oh, Daddy.
I'm guessing that probably hardly ever happens, even in the museum.
Oh, you're good. Next to it, my God.
Next to it is what the museum calls its spankometer.
Hey, we had one of those.
Once again, Jim, I would like to apologize for the accident at the old studio where we had the Spankmaster 2000. I apologize. I didn't know that setting was...
Thank you, Shamari. I have another.
Quite that high. It measures the level of pleasure a mannequin receives when spanked with a leather whip. Hello. The museum also shows film clips of various sexual positions, including the Italian chandelier.
Uh-huh. The what? What is that?
That burns up to 920 calories per hour. I have got to know what the Italian chandelier is.
I'm sure people will call in and let us know.
920 calories an hour.
Is it energy efficient, the Italian chandelier? I really need
Is that CFLs?
What's its carbon footprint?
The Italian chandelier.
That's intriguing.
Timber and I want to figure out the carbon footprint of the Italian chandelier.
I do not want to see Al Gore and Timber doing the Italian chandelier.
We can figure out what the Italian chandelier is.
Oh, by the end of the show.
I'm sure we'll get calls.
Oh. All right.
Oh, no.
Part two of the sex stack. It's the International House of Sex. That comes from India. Mm-hmm. Yoga cures gay disease. Indian Swami says.
This isn't the sex stack. This is
India's
the crazy right-wing freak stack.
India's top TV yoga expert has challenged a court ruling in India, you remember, legalizing gay sex in the country, claiming it's a disease that can be cured by meditative practices.
Mm-hmm.
Swami Baba Ramdev, he's one of my favorites. He's good.
He's a good Swami.
Uh-huh. He filed a petition on the grounds that the Delhi High Court erred in decriminalizing unnatural sex acts last week. He also reportedly insisted homosexuality was an illness which could be treated. He said it can be treated like any other congenital defect. Such tendencies can be treated by yoga, breathing exercises, and other meditation techniques.
And that's exactly what Ted Hager's been doing. Lots of yoga and stretching and meditative techniques with my Swami.
You heard him out there. If you're gay, you're not breathing right. Or you're doing it in the wrong position.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think that's going to work.
All right. Wow, they have right-wing wax in India, too. We have Tom Coburn, and they have Swami Ramadabdev.
Don't think about lingam. Think about yoni. Only yoni. It's not working, is it?
If Tom Coburn was still a doctor, he would have prescribed that. He would have been like, hey. Yeah.
You're breathing wrong.
You need to breathe the gay away. Okay, let's meditate on that. Meditate on your gayness and then get back to me. Call me in the morning. All right, let's check some entertainment news.
There's no business like show business.
It's time for Tinsel Talk. Let's find out what's going on in Hollywood with Stephanie Miller.
Thank you very much. Our top story, Meryl Streep gained a great insight into kitchen life while shooting her latest movie, Julie and Julia, in which she plays Julia Child.
Yes.
She was given lots of helpful advice, including how to keep your fingers fragrant. She said, I got a lot of good cooking tips. I also learned if you have garlic and onions on your fingers, if you dip them in salt and then rinse them in cool water, the smell goes right away.
Really?
That's a good tip. I did not know that. We have a Meryl spokesperson.
Miss Streep thoroughly enjoyed her role as Julia Child in her latest release, Julie and Julia. Cooking such dishes as coquille Saint-Jacques, saumonière, pâté de foie gras, and escalope de veau avec sauce de moutarde de Dijon provided Miss Streep with many delightful hours of gustatory delight. Miss Streep is not embarrassed to say that indulging in such rich fare was a sensual treat that was new and exciting. Miss Streep has a new respect for Miss Child since she gained insight into how ferociously emotional, nay, erotic, one could become simply by nibbling on a truffle or slurping down a clam. And Miss Streep has developed a deep and lasting awe for all various uses of Miss Child's favorite ingredient, butter. Butter for sautéing, butter for making sauce, butter for slathering on delicious buns. Who knew Marlon Brando had cribbed from Miss Child for the last Tango in Paris? Miss Streep wishes to say she is grateful for the cooking instruction she received in the making of the film, especially the lovely tip that dipping one's fingers in salt will take away odors, leaving them smelling fresh. She believes that will come in very handy in her upcoming biopic about Gertrude Stein. Thank you for your questions.
Oh, no! Jim Louise Ward!
There's nothing there. There's no there there.
You're
misinterpreting.
No, you didn't. Didn't. She... She'll need to meditate and do some yoga. Yeah. All right. David Hasselhoff is planning a UK version of his legendary TV show Baywatch.
Good. Oh, no.
With former glamour model Katie Price slipping into Pamela Anderson's iconic red swimsuit.
Who is she?
Some chick.
Don't know.
I don't know. He says, I've been thinking about basing a new show over here. It will be called UK Watch, and Jordan is certainly feisty and has curves in all the right places. He creeps me out.
Do they have beaches?
Yes.
Do they?
They
sure
do.
Like
yes.
Sunny beaches, or are they?
Every once in a while.
Okay.
Hey, Kit, I've got a great idea.
Oh, dear. The 7 most frightening words in the English language. If I could shudder, I'd be doing it right now.
I'm going to start a British version of Baywatch. I can't wait to see Katie Price in the red swimsuit.
Arr. Have you ever swam in the Atlantic Ocean? It had better be a red dry suit.
But it wouldn't be dry if it was in the ocean.
Look, numbskull, the point is it keeps you dry and warm when in freezing cold water.
Freezing cold? Sounds nipply. Daddy likey.
And you would be subject to significant shrinkage.
Oh, that. Maybe I should rethink this.
Rethink? That would imply that you've ever had a thought in that vast vacuum between your ears.
I know. I'll just rescue people in a mini submarine. A talking submarine.
Oh, no.
A talking submarine? Don't be absurd. That is so unbelievably ridiculous I can't...
Back off, girly car. You have been replaced.
Kit, meet Siegfried, my own personal talking U-boat.
You have been replaced.
So you said. Not much of a conversationalist, are you?
You have been replaced.
Congratulations, he's even dumber than you are. I hope you'll be very happy together.
Yeah, well, good riddance, smartass. Siegfried, batten down the hatches, full speed ahead.
Jawohl, dive to 300 meters.
No, I mean 9. The hatch is still open. Hey, don't pass from the hole.
That didn't work out so well.
No. Does that mean David Hasselhoff has died?
Oh, dear. He's gone. He's gone the way
just
of Boo-Boo.
His career.
All right.
Yeah, he's gone the way of Boo-Boo Bear.
All right. Oh.
So cool, Yogi. I'm so cool.
That's all for Tinsel Talk. Before anyone else dies, for God's sake, let it end. If you'd like more Jim Ward, Falderall.
Jim Ward's apocryphal but true. Kyle ahead, StephanieMiller.com. Bye, the apple.
Okay, someone has sent us the Italian chandelier.
Oh, no.
Do we want to know? Is there a picture?
Yeah, there is. It's got wooden mannequins, and I don't really understand exactly. It's also called the Italian hanger or the Italian banker. It does reportedly burn the most calories of any sex position at 920. Here are the fun facts. According to this website, I don't... missionary position only burns 12 calories an hour. Whatever.
Yeah. What? Okay.
The wheelbarrow.
Depends who's...
Oh, the wheelbarrow, yeah. 216 calories. Yeah. The Italian is standing up at 112, but the Italian chandelier here at least 912 calories.
Well, what does one do to burn so many calories?
It doesn't say.
You're doing push-ups while
you do.
You're doing calisthenics while you're.
This is quite the extensive website, by the way. There's man on top positions, woman on top. There's acrobatic sex, sex in space, sex positions
space.
For larger people, 3- and 4-person positions. All right, I'll delve into this during the break and report back to you.
Oh, dear.
There must be some more details on the Italian chandelier. All right, 20 minutes after that, back with more Celebrity Stack and Sonia Sotomayor hearings as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I don't get it.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
So I just Googled Italian chandelier pictures.
Yes.
I got pictures of Italian chandeliers. Great. Very helpful.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. We were
you asked for it.
Doing the during the break what most people do at work, and that is giggling over dirty stuff on the internet. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Hold your calls. We know what an Italian chandelier is now. It's a sex position that burns on 920 calories
an
hour.
It requires you to wear socks.
According to that one
that's
picture.
That's what disturbs me. Melanie sent a picture, and I just want to know why the woman's wearing socks.
I think it's because she gets up and runs a marathon and then comes back.
That's where you burn the 900 calories. an hour.
That's just not a good look for anybody. That's the only clothing in the picture on both of them. She's wearing socks. I don't... Okay.
Make a little love. Run a marathon. Okay. Tonight.
Okay. Let's see. Gerald in St. Paul. Steph, I found the info you're looking for. It's a position where, may I just say, if a woman does this for an hour, she's like an Olympic athlete or something, for God's sake. This is like a... She's a yogi, something. It's a position where the woman is on top, facing up, and then she has to do a crab-like back-bendy motion to get
the... Ow!
Yeah, that sounds dangerous.
Doesn't that, like...
See, the man's on his back.
Right.
And so
doesn't that
woman,
bend the man in an unusual position?
So the woman's above, also... Okay.
That bends
face
the...
up, but above him. So she looks kind of like a chandelier. All right.
Someone posited that it's called the Italian chandelier because you burn enough calories an hour to power an Italian chandelier.
Oh. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. So its carbon footprint is a little big for my taste.
We clearly have the most amount of perverts listening to this show ever because I just got about 1,000 emails. But Gary says, Steph, the Italian chandelier position is also similar to the straight-legged reverse cowgirl position.
Ah,
for those
yes.
of you that prefer that version
exactly
of that.
What it looks like.
Our listeners are horn dogs.
Got some pictures of that where the woman is wearing boots and
really?
Not socks. Yeah, cowboy boots. Spurs.
As Jim gets up and walks over to look.
I like that.
Is anybody else bored with the Sotomayor hearing?
Naked girl in cowboy boots. Okay.
All right. Bruce Jenner, whom I know. Remember I ran into him, Chris, in the green room at Larry King. And he came on the show, and making him the first person that I've ever had a picture of in my high school locker that's come on my show, because I loved him. I loved him so much.
Yeah, and it turned out he was a right-winger.
Oh, I know. I will follow him. Anyway, he spoke about his plastic surgery recently. He said, if you Google my name, the worst plastic surgery of all time, they've compared me to Michael Jackson. When asked why he underwent surgery, he said he was just going through a bad time.
Hmm.
He said, I don't think, his wife said he didn't think he ever had a lot of self-esteem. Yeah, winning 1,000 gold medals and being on every high school girl's locker, I guess that wasn't
and every
enough.
Wheaties box in America.
Exactly. He said, I'd just gone through my second divorce, lost a lot of money. I was in a little dinky house, and that's why he says he did. I loved him anyway. I loved him even after the plastic surgery.
He is.
Every boy had a picture of Farrah Fawcett in my high school in their locker, and every girl had Bruce Jenner.
I think he is featured on that website, Men Who Look Like Old Lesbians.
Oh, maybe not anymore, though. I think he had surgery to fix the bad surgery. But so is our friend Senator Al Franken is on that website, along with Don Imus and others.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The Italian Chandelier website? What?
No. Men Who Look Like Old Lesbians.
.com.
Well, I don't know if it's
our second favorite website to Cats Who Look Like Hitler. .com. And now Cats Who Look Like Wilfred Grimley.
Brimley.
.com. Okay.
And Ed Grimley.
Ed Grimley, yeah.
Now, that would be another funny website.
I must say.
All right. Cats with pants up couldn't to their up to their arms.
Up to their nipples.
Couldn't be a short-haired cat. You couldn't get that hair thing.
No.
All right. Whitney Houston wowed a VIP crowd at the London playback of her comeback album. Apparently, she looked stunning.
I have heard her first single off that album.
Have you now?
It is really good.
Wow, she was giving a standing ovation.
Yeah.
Here's something I didn't know, Jim. She publicly admitted that she'd experimented with drugs and alcohol during an interview with Diane Sawyer. I don't
really.
I don't remember. What? Crack. But not anymore. Not anymore. Hey, Jim, does your bathroom still look like Whitney Houston's bathroom in that picture now since you've been married?
No.
See?
No beer cans.
That's why you get married. That's why you get a wife.
No beer can bongs.
That's why you get a wife, so your bathroom doesn't look like Whitney Houston's. During her binge. 28 minutes after the hour. Back with Rude Pundit next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Damn it.
Stephanie Miller.
Do all the children fall in love with you?
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Uh-oh, the headline out here in California.
What?
Governor Schwarzenegger calls for drilling off the Santa Barbara coast to, close our little deficit we have here.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. You know, there was a big oil spill up there, Jim.
Mm-hmm.
What was it again?
1969.
Oh, drilling. Yeah, that's what it was.
Mm-hmm. Still tar on the beaches.
Yeah, he's long been an opponent of offshore drilling, but mm-hmm. I guess now he's a good
guy. Yeah, I'm all for the drilling in Santa Barbara, and I'm not just talking about drilling the hot blonde chicks from UCSB and City College when I visit the nude beaches at Mon Mesa, Gaviota, Vista del Mar with the boobies and the naughty bits and things of this nature.
Mm-hmm.
What was I talking about? I don't remember.
I don't know. Get back in the chopper. Thank you. All right. We have been, many people watching the Sonia Sotomayor hearings and saying rude things during the breaks. But some people say rude things for a living. It's only one of us. Hey! Who is
hey,
it?
Hey, it's Lee Papa, the rude pundit.
He's my favorite. He's my papa.
Yeah.
Good morning, Lee.
Good morning, Stephanie.
I was quoting you almost word for word from your hilarious...
except least, for the bleeps.
Except for the parts that you
I
have to be...
I was going to say, I think I know what the almost is.
You know, we were saying that a lot of your points are so dead on. You're so incredibly hilarious and rude. However, your points legally and otherwise were really dead on.
Well, thanks. It's I've watched way too much of the hearings. It's numbing. I've felt like a teenage girl wanting to cut herself just to feel something again while watching it. Oh,
God. Oh,
no.
You had a lot of the same reactions we did when we were watching it live. We were just, you're waiting for the next horrible Republican racist faux pas.
Oh, it's ridiculous. They're just not used to the help talking back.
Did you enjoy Senator Sessions, noted racist, asking her why she didn't agree with another judge who was Puerto Rican?
That was great, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was like I have my Puerto Rican. How does it stand up to your Puerto Ricanness? Anna, the whole thing is just it's ridiculous. It's like watching like an episode of the Andy Griffith Show when a Latina comes to Mayberry.
Yeah, and then was it Coburn whipped out his Ricky Ricardo impression? Did your jaw drop as mine did?
I just kept wondering if she was supposed to cry because she shot somebody, come up and, Ricky, can you hide the gun for me?
Or I thought maybe he would break into a West Side Story, the stick to your own kind. We thought maybe...
Exactly.
Yeah, a boy would kill your brother, I think was his point.
Right, mm-hmm. They should just stick with rice and beans. That just sort of goes across the board. So, that'll cover any Hispanic they want.
And could Lindsey Graham be any more condescending? He's just like, you know what, Missy, why don't you just take a little time out and contemplate your temperament?
Oh, Lindsey Graham, and then did you see, I'm guessing you didn't hear what he said today, where he said, you've said some things that just bug the hell out of me.
Oh, did he say that?
Yes, he did, because, he's charming. He's, it's just so creepy to watch him. It's like watching some middle-aged guy at a gay bar, go up to somebody, when he said something, let's talk about you, I like you, by the way, for whatever that matters.
Yeah, that was creepy.
Wasn't it?
I was saying today, my prediction was he would say, I like you, you're like that funny maid on Will and Grace. Yeah.
Again, you see, they just don't know. For them, a Puerto Rican's as good as a Mexican is as good as a Brazilian or an Argentinian.
Right. Well, how inherently racist is it that they keep bringing up Miguel Estrada?
Yeah. Well, because it's all they got. I mean, they can't bring up Gonzalez because Gonzalez is part of the administration that cannot be named.
Yes.
And so it's all they got.
Yeah, I know. It really is pretty stunning. I think, as Dianne Feinstein said yesterday, we didn't vote in Miguel Estrada because he had no record to look at and he wouldn't answer any of our questions.
Yeah.
But that was their pathetic way of going, see, we like Hispanics.
Oh, God, did you remember Orrin Hatch, when Gonzalez was up? It just went on and on about how he belonged to the Republican Hispanic appreciation group or something like that, and how much he actually said, I love Hispanics.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah,
God.
It's just, wouldn't it be news if you didn't?
Yeah, and then apparently Pat Buchanan said yesterday the only way to get the Hispanic vote is to make more white people. So the Hispanic vote doesn't count anymore.
Wow.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
Go breed white people because the Hispanics are breeding too much.
Yeah. It was his wake up white people moment yesterday on Hardball. Yeah,
I think that should be on posters, you know, around the country. White people must have sex, so that
just don't use the Spanish chandelier because that's not white enough.
Yeah. No,
Pat Buchanan wants you to have sex.
I'm guessing that the Italian chandelier is not really good for conception.
not in that position. No.
We're pretty much like the radio version of your website, Lee. That's what we do. We basically research incredibly dirty terms,
exactly.
And then we do a little bit of political analysis in the meantime.
Yeah, that's why I love you.
So we didn't watch as much today because we did have to research the Italian chandelier sex position.
Yeah.
But what did we miss, and what were your impressions about today?
Today was just more senseless beatings. It was like watching somebody with no feeling below the waist hammer their legs over and over. It was just it was worthless.
Yeah.
The only reason for this is for the Republicans on the committee to have something for ads for the upcoming elections.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it really is like, how many times can she answer the same question? It's like they keep thinking they can trick her ask it a different way for the
It's interrogation technique. You know,
mm-hmm.
if you keep on pressing, eventually they're going to trip themselves up. But you know, she's just kicking their asses all over the place.
Isn't she? It's hilarious. It's like I was saying, you can almost see the animated little birds like around their heads. Tweet.
And this is exactly what Roberts and Alito did. And I just love that all the stuff that, you know, Roberts came in and wasn't going to answer a thing. And Alito was the same. And now it's your turn. Everything you've done has come back to haunt you.
Yeah, but they didn't do nearly as good of impressions as Tom Cobert did of his Ricky Ricardo yesterday.
If I go home, get a gun, come back and shoot you, that may not be legal under New York law, because you would have alternative ways.
You'll have
to
lots
defend
of explaining to do.
I'd be in a lot of trouble then.
I just love minimizing violence like that too.
Yeah.
Oh, domestic violence is a hoot.
Oh, God.
Oh, man. But, you know, I think there was I was quoting a Hispanic woman that was at the hearing that said she winced noticeably when he did that impression.
Oh, I bet all of those white Republicans, they just couldn't stand it when Sotomayor would pronounce Spanish words, you know, as if they're Spanish.
Yeah.
Saying Latina instead of Latina, and just things like that must have just thrown them off.
Yeah, exactly. And by the way, Tom Cobert, of course, doing the Ricky Ricardo impression. You recall the fun facts about him. He once sterilized a woman against her will when he was a doctor. Yeah. And he says that homosexuality is the homosexual agenda, pardon me, is the biggest threat to American freedom.
Well, yeah. Well, apparently Cubans aren't. So.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else from today we missed?
No, you really didn't. I mean, it was the same. I love is that, you know, Spector and several of the others bringing up cameras in the courtroom as if this is the issue that Americans are concerned about, is whether or not we can actually watch these, again, mind-numbingly dull proceedings. I don't know that I want to watch Antonin Scalia. I don't know that I want to see him sitting there looking down on all the people that he must love looking down on.
Yeah, but Lee, if the Republicans are right, and you know, the minute she is on the Supreme Court, she's going to go insane, then you know, we can look forward to her ripping off her robe and giving Clarence Thomas a lap dance, can't we?
Oh, even more, we can look forward to her, you know, hat dancing around Roberts.
Oh, God.
And we can look forward to, you know, lots of salsa music as she enters instead of
we'll know which offices her hears because the Gloria Estefan music
that's
will be
right. That's right.
Will be pumping day and night.
Yeah, I love the show of it too. You know, did you see the firefighters sitting behind?
Oh
her?
Yeah.
Wasn't that great? Didn't you think that they had just like hired strippers or something for the celebration?
Oh, good. The Chippendales dancers are here.
Yes, exactly.
All right. Lee Papa, the Rude Pundit. It is therudepundit.blogspot.com,
correct? Just rudepundit.blogspot.com.
Pardon me.
Yes, just Rude Pundit. Actually, if you go to the other one, it directs you.
Oh, does it? Okay.
It's fancy internet stuff.
Wow.
Hilarious and rude. And apparently, you're going to be on the show every Monday or until I get sick of you.
That's terrific.
As you know, I can be prickly, as you know, so we'll see how that goes.
I've noticed, but I'll keep my seductive voice on.
All right, good. All right, there he goes. Lee, Papa, the Rude Pundit. Thank you, honey.
Thank you.
There he goes. Woohoo! 43 minutes after the hour. Back with more of the Sotomayor hearings as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Holy crap! We'll have more on these new developments after this.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Oh, yeah.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 48 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Dennis in Santa Fe on the Sotomayor hearings. Hello, Dennis.
Yes.
Hi, go ahead.
Yeah, I just thought of listening to these hearings, it would be fun to imagine Sarah Palin being in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee.
Somebody pointed out Dennis,
her speeches over the past.
Yeah, somebody pointed out, Dennis, that not once has Sonia Sotomayor said that she'll have to get that back to us, that information.
Exactly.
She seems to know.
I'll try to find you some and I'll bring them to you.
Sarah Palin would have to explain her speeches? Dear God, who can? Even she can't decode that gobbledygook.
In what respect, Jeff Sessions?
All right, let's go to David in Washington on healthcare. Hi, Dave.
Hi. Hey, morally and ethically, I think it's in the best interest of the rich Americans in the country to cough it up, because I think remember they were debating it last summer between McCain, Hillary, and Barack, and all the other ones that are trying to get the nominations of the parties. Mm-hmm. And I think when they crunched the numbers, it was like maybe $2,000 or $3,000 extra out of $1 million salary. I mean, it's nothing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Symbolically, yep. It would be important for them to do that.
Yep, I hear you. All right, let's go to Chris in Santa Fe on Jeff Sessions. Hello, Chris.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, everybody who believes that Jeff Sessions is a racist pig, say aye.
Aye.
Thank you. You know, he's just a smaller, far more anal version of Jesse Helms.
Yeah, that is true.
That's all he is. And I feel bad for Judge Sotomayor. I don't know if I could sit there calmly while I was just picked away at by that little demented, bleached lawn jockey. It just...
That's exactly. It's the definition of judicial restraint, which you're watching.
He's the littlest Klansman. When he goes to meetings, he's just a little pointy hat on the ground. And
Stephanie and Madison.
Oh, God.
Hi, Steph.
Hey, guys. Hey, I think the Rude Pundit, or however you say it, I think he's great.
Yeah, he's hilarious.
And the one thing I want to say, Lindsey Graham, to me, he sounds like an evil Mr. Roberts. You know,
Mr. Rogers,
talks?
Yeah.
And he kind of like tries to be soft and comforting.
I like
you. Carrying a dagger in his other hand.
I like the way you talk.
Yes. It's creepy.
Yeah, it is creepy.
Anyway.
All right, speaking of creepy, who is that questioning?
That is Tom Coburn.
Yeah, there you go. Creepy questioning Judge Sotomayor.
Without government regulation and in others, there would be permissible government regulation.
Did any of the laws...
That's generally because the court did look at other questions in terms of government regulation.
Judge, how would you rule in the case where I sterilized a woman without her consent?
The 50 states regulating abortion survived the decision in Roe.
Coburn is just a one-issue senator. That's all he cares about is abortion.
I don't know that I could answer that question because
I don't... they didn't. Was there any limit to the right to abortion, either in the age of the child in the womb or the reasons for electing that surgery? And if so, what are those limits, according to Roe and Doe?
I Senator, I don't actually remember the court addressing that because my studies have been on the undue burden test established in Casey. So my experience in this area or my knowledge really has been most particularly concentrated on the Casey standard, which is what Casey did was change the Roe standard.
Which goes back to why I asked you those two hypothetical, not abstract, but hypothetical cases yesterday, the 28-week and a 38-week.
Just to see if you'll be an activist on the issue, I want you to be an activist on.
Ever since January 22nd, 1973, you can have an abortion for any reason you want in this country. And even though Carhartt 2 is now been ruled, that's a procedure that will eliminate that pregnancy is still legal and viable everywhere in this country. And so what I was trying to draw out to you is where do we stand in this country when 80% of the rest of the world allows abortion only before 12 weeks? Only before 12 weeks. And yet we allow it for any reason at any time for any inconvenience.
Did he just call some pregnancies legal?
Under the
I think all pregnancies are technically
the woman
legal.
Aspect.
All right. Dear God.
Well, it's a valid point, I think.
Kim in St. Paul, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Yes, I hate to call it just boring facts, but, you know, as an attorney, I mean, the fact that Sonia Sotomayor may have independently held opinions that she's offered up in her speeches, but yet has such an even record on the bench, is the very definition of having judicial temperament.
That's right.
And showing judicial independence.
Yes, thank you. You're the smartest girl in class.
You're a robot if you don't have opinions about things outside of work. You know?
Yeah,
but
exactly.
when Sotomayor is at work, she is even-handed and only pays attention to the law.
Okay. Once again, what's up with Senator Ensign? Am I misunderstanding something here? So he not only is not going to resign, but he says he's going to run again. Doesn't this seem to be a whole big mix of, you know, not just adultery, but sexual harassment and congressional ethics and
whatever.
It seems
like a stew of corruption.
Mm-hmm. Crewe, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington, said, given that Senator Ensign conducted an affair with a campaign employee who was married to a member of his office staff and that both individuals were terminated, apparently for reasons related to the affair, the Select Committee on Ethics should immediately open an investigation into this matter. It is amazing how Republicans will excuse anything. Senator John Thune, Republican of South Dakota, said, I think up to now he's done a good job of dealing with it. What? Having your parents pay off your
Happens all the time.
Yeah.
Come on.
So Cindy Hampton may hold the keys to John Ensign's future because she's the only one has in the love triangle yet to remain silent. Because some are saying the harassment claim has to come from the person harassed. So there may be another shoe to drop here in this story. All right.
Several of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, closet full.
Exactly.
And Imelda Marcos-sized closet full of shoes.
All right, saying it's time to get this done, President Obama pressed Wednesday for swift congressional action on health care after his Senate panel approved a bill to overhaul the $2.5 trillion industry. He said this progress should make us hopeful, but it can't make us complacent. It should instead provide the urgency for both the House and the Senate to finish their critical work on health care reform before the August recess. Sean Hannity, let's skip to 18, of course doing his nightly fear-mongering on health care.
All right, the universal health care nightmare is knocking at your door. Now, yesterday, House Democrats unveiled sweeping legislation that would slam almost every business with a penalty equal to 8% of their payroll if they fail to provide health insurance for their employees. Now, it also slaps additional taxes on the country's highest earners. Now, it looks like the Democrats are using every political issue in this country as an excuse to hike your taxes.
Yes.
And that is our headline this Wednesday night, playing politics with your health.
Yes, Sean, we're knocking at your door. Coming for your money. A group of Senate Democrats called for actually the insurance industry to submit to new fees to help pay for reforms. We need the insurance companies to step up to the plate, said Chuck Schumer. It makes sense that private health insurers who are going to gain 40 million customers in a reform system should pay their fair share.
That's right.
Thank you. Here's the headline I've been waiting to hear for a long time. House bill would make health care a right. A right.
Yes, right.
Not a privilege in the United States of America. House Democratic leaders are offering the $1.5 trillion plan for the first time that would make health care a right and a responsibility for all Americans. Left to pick up the tab were medical providers, employers, and the wealthy. So we're, you know, it's
Sean
spreading it around.
And his ilk think that they can insulate themselves in their private jets from all the peons, you know, who get transmittable and incurable forms of diseases that are drug resistant. You can't do it.
It's time to do this. Moments before unveiling the health plan, Nancy Pelosi shared a moment with John Dingell, the 83-year-old dean of the House whose father first pushed for universal coverage in 1943.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it might just be time we get to that. 57 minutes after the hour. That's it for us. I'd like to thank Chris Lavoie, Jim Ward, and Rebecca Baker. We'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.